Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Heavy college football show today. We will talk Titans later on. But the college football coaching carousel, I should say, has heated up over the last 48 hours or so. The Lane Kiffin saga finally came to an end. Mark Stoops was fired at Kentucky and already replaced by Will Stein, who comes over from Oregon as a coordinator. So I figured it's a good time with only a couple of major openings left. One big one, of course, in Penn State. Let's go through some winners and losers of the coaching carousel. And we want to hear from you as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I will go, my first winner of the coaching carousel has to be LSU, right? Lane Kiffin was the belle of the ball in this year's coaching cycle. Can you get Lane Kiffin away from Ole Miss? They did it. Who knows how it's going to turn out? The leash is going to be short at LSU. If he had stayed at Ole Miss, I think going 10-2, 9-3, 11-1 all the time would have been perfect. Ole Miss fans would have loved that. At LSU, that's not going to fly. If they don't get to a national championship game in the next, like, 3 years, he might be looking for another job somewhere else. So I don't know how it's going to turn out, but for LSU, you fire Brian Kelly, and you got the number one guy on the market.
I mean, good for them. This is exactly what they needed. It just... Brian Kelly had that just get by mentality, in my opinion. Whereas for Lane Kiffin, you now have more resources. You can go after your marquee names in the transfer portal and also just recruiting in general. So, again, LSU brings a lot to the table. There obviously been the reports that Ole Miss was going to match whatever they could, you know, stuff like that.
But yeah.
I don't think Ole Miss is able to match anything, in my opinion, to LSU.
7 years, $91 million were the final terms, and we found out yesterday that LSU has agreed to pay the postseason bonuses for Lane Kiffin. So the further Ole Miss goes in the playoffs without him, the more money Lane Kiffin makes.
Just so petty. It's just college football's pettiness at its finest.
Who do you have as a winner in the coaching carousel?
I'm going Florida.
Okay.
I think
Summerall, you like Summerall?
Yeah, I think that's a good little get for them. The fact of the matter is that's a program that's just oozing to win, that they want it so bad, and wherever Summerall's gone, he's won. So that's a factor you got to put into there. I mean, you know, the whole Billy Napier experiment definitely crashed and burned. I think they made a wrong decision in letting Dan Mullen kind of part ways in that direction, because he's now at UNLV and they're in their conference championship game. So that's something you got to just put into the puzzle pieces, but Florida's done a really good job at getting together the resources they need.
Yeah, I think in terms of like group of five coaches, Summerall was the golden goose. That's the guy that you wanted. Like Golish, great. He's at Auburn now. Silverfield, good. He's at Arkansas. But Summerall was the guy that everybody was looking at, and I think that was a good hire from Florida. Yeah, Billy Napier didn't work out, but he was coming from the Sun Belt. American's a little bit of a higher level of competition, so we'll see if that turns out. I don't know if they want to keep DJ Lagway. I would guess they probably do, but that might be one of his first orders of business, is trying to see if they can keep the former five-star.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, again, kind of the same like the Ole Miss situation, how many guys from Tulane are going to transfer over,
right,
and really help out that Florida team, and it's just what? A small plane flight away. I mean, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So that's something to look into. I like DJ Lagway. I think he's a good quarterback.
The talent's there.
Yeah. I just think he was being hindered under the Billy Napier hierarchy of coaching. So we'll see what happens.
There you go.
The offseason is what we'll see.
I got LSU as a winner. Nick's got Florida. Parker, do you have a winner of the coaching carousel back there?
I'm going to agree with Nick because the obvious answer is going to be Lane Kiffin, but I'm going to say John Summerall at Florida. I believe this was a home run hire for them because they've tried getting the flashy up-and-coming guys, and yes, John Summerall is coming from the group of five, but I believe with this Florida job and the access that you have to recruiting, especially in Florida, they just need a guy that coaches ball and doesn't put up with any of the bullcrap, and that's John Summerall. He's one of those guys that he has 24 hours in the day, and he's like, okay, I'm going to sleep five, and the other 19, I'm going to figure out what I can do to get my team in best position to win. He won the press conference, not really a surprise, but it's a home run hire for Florida.
Yeah, I like that one. I think they did the best they could, especially when they were in on Kiffin for a little bit there. They pivoted. They still got one of the best names on the market. A couple other winners that I had. Virginia Tech. You know, I think for Virginia Tech, in terms of when they fired Brent Pry in September, they didn't think James Franklin was ever going to be a possibility, right? Like, at that point, they were the number two team in the country. So when they fired Brent Pry, they exceeded expectations of who they were going to get as a coach, and they are poaching Penn State's recruiting class as we speak, heading into signing day tomorrow. So I think Virginia Tech is a winner. That's at least a hire that can get them back into contention in the ACC. Kentucky, I'm going to go with the winner of Kentucky. If Connor Newt's listening, it seems like a lot of the big schools forgot that coordinators can end up being good coaches too, right? Like, Dan Lanning was a coordinator when he went to Oregon. That ended up being probably the best hire of that 2022 cycle, or one of them. Will Stein, that's a good hire from Oregon, and I think that's what Kentucky needed. You needed a guy who has a high ceiling, who can come in and try and turn that program around. I think that's a more inspiring hire than even like Golish from South Florida, who really just had one, two good years. I really like it. I like that Will Stein hire for Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely puts them in the middle of the pack of the SEC. It doesn't put them at the bottom of, you know, I wouldn't say the dirt of the SEC. It just makes them competitive again. And I'm not saying they weren't this year, but it makes them even more competitive because, again, all these coordinators and group of five coaches that are coming to the SEC, it bodes the case of more opportunities to recruit, more opportunities for money, all that stuff. And that's what the SEC is about. It's about the best football in all of college football.
Yes, and for Kentucky, they're clearly not on the level to compete with Alabama and Georgia. Like, they need to go a different route, and I think finding an up-and-coming guy, that's the way to do it. So I like the hire there. It moved very quickly, which makes you think that Mark Stoops has been fired for a while now, and they've been looking, but that's a good hire for Kentucky and closes up all of the openings in the SEC now. And we'll talk about losers in a second, but we have neglected to talk about the biggest winner of all in the coaching carousel this year, and that is super agent Jimmy Sexton, because not only did he get money for all of the coaches who got new contracts, you know, James Franklin getting like $10 million a year at Virginia Tech, Lane Kiffin getting $13 million at LSU, but he also got extensions for like all of his other clients because he was playing these schools. Like, hey, Florida wants Clark Lee. You're going to have to pay him. All right, he gets an extension. Jimmy Sexton made himself a lot of money over the last month or so.
Sounds like Christmas is going to be fun
pretty,
this year.
Pretty good in the Sexton house?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was – he is the winner of the coaching carousel, bar none. Everybody else did great. You know, we can talk about winners of LSU and Florida, Virginia Tech, all those names. Jimmy Sexton is the winner of the coaching carousel.
There's one coach that has not been mentioned because he recently just got fired in the NFL, but his agent is also Jimmy Sexton. Do you think, you know,
Brian Daboll? Brian Callahan?
Chip Kelly.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know what Chip Kelly is going to do.
Look, I'm not saying the Penn State job is open for him, but a guy that's familiar in the Big Ten, teams like that, like in Oregon and Ohio State, I wouldn't see why Penn State wouldn't reach out to him at least.
Penn State fans might riot if they fired James Franklin to bring in Chip Kelly.
Well, look, right now they're searching for answers. And I'm just throwing a name out there because that's all they really have. There's no other guy to really go grab right now.
Right. And so, we can talk about Penn State on the other side. We're going to get into the losers of the college football coaching carousel. And shocker, Penn State tops the list. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. We're going through the winners and the losers of the college football coaching carousel. Still spinning, but a lot of the spots have been filled. We went through, said winners include LSU, Florida, Virginia Tech, Kentucky, Jimmy Sexton, the super agent. Now the losers, and there's only one place we can start with this, and that is the Penn State Nittany Lions, who still do not have a head coach. And James Franklin is poaching their recruiting class as we speak. I just looked. Virginia Tech got two more four-star former Penn State commits to commit to the Hokies this morning. Virginia Tech's recruiting class has moved up to 43rd in the country with all of these 11 Penn State former commits that have now gone to Blacksburg. And Penn State, Parker, I already told Nick this, but Parker, can you give me a guess where Penn State falls in the 247 recruiting ranking? And actually, we're getting a phone call, so we'll let Parker handle that. Penn State ranked 129th in the recruiting rankings, behind powerhouse programs such as Northern Arizona, UC Davis, Cal Poly, and Harvard.
Even the bookworms are over the Penn State lines. I mean, my goodness.
Penn State has five commits right now. They have four-star commits. And one of them, I believe, is – so this safety, Matt Sieg, is rumored to possibly be going to Blacksburg too. He's their best player in their class.
Holy cow.
So there's a chance they end up with only four commits, and signing day is tomorrow.
So
– and they still don't have a head coach.
I mean, that's
– I'm back. Sorry.
Go ahead, Parker.
What was the question?
The question is, where do you think Penn State's recruiting class is ranked right now?
Oh, pretty low. Very low.
129th.
Yeah. Yeah. It was already not good when James Franklin was there, but now it's really bad.
They're one spot behind Harvard.
Yeah. Franklin's taken all of their guys.
Yeah. So 11 former Penn State commits are now committed to Virginia Tech. And the number one guy left for Penn State, I haven't heard for sure, but I have seen rumors that he might go to Virginia Tech too.
And that was the thing. That was why I didn't really understand this firing, because they were going to take a step back regardless, because they were losing all their seniors.
Yeah.
Their recruiting class wasn't good. Their transfer portal class has not been good historically. So they were already going to take a step back. So you fire Franklin, you bring in a new guy, you're setting him up to fail right away.
And Corey Curtis has said it on this show of clearly people in Happy Valley did not like James Franklin. And they were waiting for an excuse to fire him, and he loses three games in a row, including to UCLA and Northwestern. And they took that excuse, and they got rid of him. But there has to be some regret right now, right? They can't find anybody to take that job. Everybody who was at the top of their list at the beginning, you know, Kurt Cignetti was probably the number one. He signs an extension. Matt Rhule, who is a Penn State alum and supposedly best friends with Pat Kraft, he signs an extension. Mike Elko signs an extension. Clark Lee signs an extension. Right now, the rumor is Kalani Sitake at BYU. And guess what? It seems like BYU is starting to coax him back to Provo. They might just be left holding the bag, and I don't know who they're going to hire.
Look, if BYU ends up making the playoff, I'm sure we'll see, like Oprah, you get an extension, you get an extension,
right.
I mean, he's going to get one. We all know it.
Well, the reports I've seen is that Penn State basically offered him so much money that, like, he couldn't say no. But then the community of BYU, which religious, is, like, pulling him back in.
Right.
And trying to raise money to keep him there. So I don't know. It's a whole saga there, but – like, Penn State was interested in Bob Chesney of James Madison, and he's at UCLA now. It's a disaster up there. And I don't know, there's no one left that you can look at and objectively say, yeah, they got better from James Franklin.
That's fair. That's really fair. I'm going to go back to the well here, and as I mentioned in the last break, Chip Kelly. Like, think about it. Just think about it for a second.
It might be one of the better options left.
I think it's the only option they have right now, in my opinion. Because if you look at the 2024 Ohio State National Championship winning team, as an offensive coordinator, they ranked 14th in FBS, scoring 35.7 points per game. If you're Penn State, why would you not want to sign up for that? I get all the stuff with the Raiders didn't work out well, but again, that's Geno Smith and a discombobulated offense. NFL is completely different from college. Chip Kelly's had a lot of success in college football when it comes to Oregon, when it comes to Ohio State.
But didn't he leave UCLA because he didn't want to be a head coach at the college level anymore?
Yes, but I think in just looking at it from the outside, looking in, if you're Chip Kelly and you go to a Power 4 school in Penn State over a team like UCLA, there's more resources at Penn State. And again, maybe he doesn't want to go up against Ohio State every year. I get it. But why would you not want to be coaching – at the highest level of college football, minus the SEC.
Yeah. Heupel basically said that he doesn't want that job yesterday. Kalen DeBoer was a big name for Penn State, and I can't see him leaving now. If they lost to Auburn, I think he would be in Happy Valley right now. But
what if Alabama loses convincingly
in the SEC championship?
Correct. Like, say, by three possessions.
So
you think Bama fans would leave a sour taste in their mouth?
That's an interesting point of what if BYU beats
Texas Tech.
And if BYU wins that game, maybe Kalani Sitake says, you know what, I'm going to stay here. You know, we're having so much success.
Right.
But DeBoer gets blown out by Georgia. And because BYU steals a bid, Alabama gets left out. I could see it. And I think that's maybe what Penn State is hoping for right now. Jeremy in Clarksville says Pat Fitzgerald to Penn State. Isn't Pat Fitzgerald going to Michigan State?
That's what I saw
last
night.
Yeah, so he's already gone. And honestly, that would have been a fine hire, I think, for Penn State. Maybe not a flashy one. 7002 says Daboll. Is that... My question is for Penn State, like, you fired James Franklin because it wasn't good enough. Getting to the national semifinals last year, albeit they only beat, what, Boise State and who'd they beat in the first round? SMU.
SMU
and Boise State. Yeah, maybe a little fluky to get to the semifinals, but that wasn't good enough. Is it going to be good enough to hire Brian Daboll to be your head coach? I don't think so.
No.
Like, the expectations, by firing James Franklin, you have set the expectation at, we want to win a national championship. No one wants to come in here with those expectations. That's why no one has taken the job yet. And you're not going to find anybody who can actually live up to those expectations at this point in the coaching cycle.
I mean, you're right.
I don't know what they're going to do. I've compared it to Vrabel multiple times of, yes, it made sense to fire him based on, like, what your expectations were.
Correct.
But it's like, it's not always better, right? Like, you fired Vrabel because you said he got us to the AFC Championship but couldn't get us to the Super Bowl, and we want to win Super Bowls. Well, look where you are now. I think Penn State might be in for a pretty big reckoning in the next couple of years.
Titans are winning the toilet bowl.
Yes, they are. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan is called in. Keegan, good morning. Thanks for calling. What you got?
Hey, good morning, fellas. So what I got is, Jake, you've said it twice now. You said it once earlier. That's what made me call in. But you brought up how if BYU wins the Big 12 championship, that could knock Alabama out of the playoff with a loss to Georgia. I think that's super interesting. I'd love to talk about that for a second, because I don't see how, in a world where the SEC championship representative taking a loss, they could get knocked out. That seems almost impossible in my eyes, just based on what the SEC is. You got the top two teams in the conference going, playing for the championship, and even if Bama loses, they'd be 10-3 afterwards. It's not like, you know, Texas at 9-3, they got 10 wins. And on the intro, you say, 10 wins in the SEC, you're in.
I know, we're going to have to change that, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to change that one. That's going to have to get on out of here. That's starting to look worse and worse by the week. But no, that's really – it's a hard scenario for me to buy into that Alabama loses and makes it out of the playoff. Because if you look at their schedule, their resume, they went on a stretch, I believe, like five straight games of beating a ranked opponent, multiple on the road. Their only conference loss to Oklahoma is when Oklahoma's at their absolute peak. They beat teams like Vanderbilt. They've already beat Georgia, a playoff lock, essentially. I understand that if BYU wins the Big 12, they get into the playoffs, and you don't really want to take Texas Tech out. But you're telling me a team like Notre Dame or Miami deserves it over Alabama, and I just can't buy into that.
That's
kind of all I got. I just want to hear kind of your thoughts on that.
That's a good question, Keegan. Actually, let's have this conversation on the other side, because that grouping in the playoff rankings tonight is the one that is the most interesting, because Alabama,
I agree.
Alabama's in front of Notre Dame right now. Notre Dame's in front of Alabama right now, which puts you in a very tough spot if BYU does win, because you would have to knock Alabama out by process of elimination. But if you put Alabama in front of Notre Dame tonight, it sets it up that Alabama could lose, still get in if BYU wins, And then you have the Notre Dame-Miami question. We can talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly alongside you on this Tuesday. Keegan just called in with an interesting question. This weekend, there's not a ton of changes that could happen with the rankings. Right? For the most part, the teams that are in that are in. The teams that are out when the rankings come out tonight will be out. But the two power conference games that you need to look at are Alabama-Georgia and Texas Tech-BYU. Because the ACC championship is Virginia and Duke. And I guess that one is important, but it's that bid is going to go to either Virginia, Duke, or James Madison. Nobody else. And then the AAC, that winner is getting in. So you're good there. But the SEC championship, Alabama's 10-2. They should be in. And Keegan makes a good point of how are you going to leave the SEC runner-up out if BYU was to win and clinch their spot in the field. And I don't understand how the committee is going to unravel the knot they've tied themselves into. Because right now, Alabama is the last team in for an at-large bid. If BYU was to win and Alabama was to lose, BYU would steal one of the at-large bids and Alabama would be pushed out if they keep the rankings the way that they are. But I said to you during the break, I think the committee is just trying to keep as little blood on their hands as possible. And so tonight, it would not shock me if they, for some reason or another, that they make up, Alabama jumps Notre Dame, and therefore Notre Dame becomes that team on the bubble, and then they can say, all right, if BYU wins, we don't have to worry about being told that we are punishing Alabama for losing in the SEC championship game by leaving them out. And they can kind of use that last spot as the line of demarcation of, okay, if BYU wins, both Notre Dame and Miami are out, so it doesn't matter. If BYU loses, then they have to make that decision between Notre Dame and Miami.
That's a tough call.
I'd hate to be in that committee room.
Look, I see another team in this top 12, a team in Oklahoma. If I'm the committee member, I would say this. Oklahoma only beat LSU by 4 points. LSU is not a great ball club. You drop them and have Notre Dame and Alabama jump, I guess, Oklahoma.
Well, Oklahoma beat Alabama.
Mm.
This is the issue, is the committee. The committee has to, the results on the field have to matter. Like, you have to factor in head-to-head and say, Oklahoma beat Alabama, Alabama beat Vanderbilt. That's
again,
why Vandy's
and Miami
out.
Beat Notre Dame.
But that doesn't seem to matter.
Exactly. I bring Vanderbilt back into this equation real quick because you made the case, and I heard it yesterday, when you have teams that Vanderbilt beats as in LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, all those teams drop. And you look at a team like LSU – Oklahoma plays them. They beat them by 4. Oklahoma's not dropping, obviously, because they won. But then right. You have other teams underneath them, and you're thinking, well, how do you counteract that? And, like, to y'all's point now, like, if Miami Notre Dame doesn't matter in this ranking, then how do you differentiate any
right.
of this?
Right. This is what the committee has done to themselves, is head-to-head only seems to matter some places. And that's why Vanderbilt is out right now, right? Like, Vanderbilt is out because Oklahoma beat Alabama, and Alabama beat Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that. That is a logical case to say the results on the field matter. Oklahoma beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Vanderbilt lost to Alabama, so we're going to seed them like that.
Right.
But then you say, oh, well, Notre Dame's still above Miami. Yeah, if we were comparing those two teams, the head-to-head result would come into play, but they're not even in the same pool. I'm like, how? How are they not in the same pool?
Right.
They're both 10-2. They've played similar schedules, right? Like Miami and Notre Dame both basically played an ACC schedule.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, of course, played Purdue and Arkansas and Boise State, but they played, for the most part, an ACC schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, the head-to-head result has to matter. If it were me, based on what the committee has said so far, or at least the way they have it, Notre Dame would be out. I would put Vanderbilt in over Miami, but I don't think they're going to put 6 SEC teams in.
I just still factor in a team like Ole Miss that's at 7. I think you have to devalue them a little bit. I get we're waiting till Friday,
I think they will play on the road instead of at home.
Okay.
Like, I think that is the punishment they'll get for not having their head coach is instead of being the 6th seed, they might be the 9th seed, and they have to go on the road in the first round.
That's the thing, though. If Ole Miss were to drop from 7 to 9 and then the conference championship plays out, Bama and Georgia, and that's a tight game, to me, you look at some teams like a Vanderbilt or a Utah or Miami or BYU that are on the outside looking in, and more BYU not so much, but like that's where I would say maybe the eye test does bode well for those teams on the outside. And I know I'm kind of deviating from the Alabama-Notre Dame conversation, but that to me is what drags my eye more than this Notre Dame-Alabama situation.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to look at this weekend, from this weekend for the committee. And when they start to get towards 15 in the rankings, the things I'm keeping an eye on, does Vanderbilt move up and how far do they move up? I think they should move past Utah to at least 13. We'll see if maybe they reconsider Vanderbilt-Miami, Vanderbilt-BYU based on the blowout win in Knoxville. I'm not counting on it. But then when you get into the top 10, they have to position themselves for who is going to be on that cut line if BYU wins. Because I don't think BYU gets in as an at-large. But if BYU beats Texas Tech, an 11-2 Texas Tech team I think is still good enough to get in. And the question becomes, do you leave out the SEC runner-up in Alabama? Do you leave out the team that beat them in Oklahoma? Or do you leave out Notre Dame and Miami? It's there. That is the chaos in this college football playoff scenario that they're hoping BYU loses and they don't have to make that decision. If BYU wins, a lot of tough calls are going to have to be made in that committee room.
Yeah. Look, BYU is the one constant in all this equation. If it were me, more than likely, just my gut's telling me they're going to lose to Texas Tech.
And if they, I agree.
And if they lose by 3 or more scores, that's where you got to have the conversation of, all right, where does all these 2 or 3 teams right behind? Like,
yeah.
To me, Miami, I think, is out of the equation. I don't think they should be included in this playoff.
I don't.
They haven't proved enough to be a part of the eye test. They haven't proved enough in beating teams, in my opinion. Whereas you look at a team like Vanderbilt, they have all the they've checked all the boxes in a roundabout way. That's the best way to put it. That bothers me a little bit, the fact that you have a Heisman candidate quarterback and the team's going to be left out of the playoff. That make that make sense to me. It doesn't.
I will say I've said ad nauseum over the past 3 weeks that Vanderbilt's resume is better than Notre Dame and Miami. Doesn't seem like the committee wants to take a look at that. Like I really don't think they are comparing Notre Dame and Vanderbilt. Because they said they're not comparing Notre Dame and Miami, so Vanderbilt's a spot behind Miami. Clearly, they're not looking at the resumes. They need to have a good, hard look at that and reconsider. Do I think they're going to? No, but I think they should. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Vandy, Chris is on the line. Thanks for calling. What you got for us?
So when I originally called, I was going to talk about the college football coaching hires. My number one is absolutely Virginia Tech. My number two is absolutely Auburn. But I'm willing to change direction and talk about the college football playoff.
Whatever you
want. There's a rule in the college football playoff committee rule book that they go by. And it says a team can be devalued based on availability of coaches and players. They've already set a precedent 2 years ago when they kept an undefeated Florida State out of the playoffs. They set that precedent. Ole Miss, the one thing that's keeping them in this conversation is their offense. Their defense is absolutely terrible by the metrics, and it's their offense that keeps that team going. They just lost their head coach and their entire offensive staff. If that rule, and it's been left in there for a reason, if that rule is still there, if there's ever a case, you have to leave Ole Miss out based on the precedent that's already been set with Florida State. I appreciate you guys doing this. I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk about it and see what y'all have to say about that.
Thanks for the call, Chris. I understand the thought process of they should be left out. Yeah, Lane Kiffin's gone. Their offensive Weiss left. I get it. They're 11-1, though. And I don't think you can punish the players because Lane Kiffin decided to go chase the job at LSU.
I'm with Chris on this.
You think they should be out?
I really do think Ole Miss should be out of this playoff because, look, say they get into the playoff and they crap the bed, that's on the committee. They made the wrong decision. And then you leave a 10-2 Vandy team out that's probably going to win their bowl game because this team has proved everything in their power that they belong in this top 12. I'm in the camp what Chris just said. Look, I know I'm a Mississippi State fan.
Maybe that's the Mississippi State fan in him. No, that is the bulldog in him right there.
Look, Lane left so we could fly. I'm cool with that. But this is a team right now. If come Friday, there are, I'd say if there's more than 12 players that leave that roster, they need to be out of this playoff easily.
So if they had lost another game, if they were 10-2 and they were in this muddled mess of 10-2 SEC teams with Oklahoma, Alabama, Vanderbilt, I would agree. I would agree. Kick Ole Miss out because that is a serious factor in how they're going to perform in the playoffs. Not having their head coach, not having their offensive staff. But you can't leave an 11-1 SEC team out.
Chris is right. I mean, the CFP did set the committee. However, if this was the four-team era, Ole Miss is one. I mean, they're not even in consideration.
Right. They wouldn't have been in consideration, right. And they would have been dropped completely out of consideration.
This is a 12-team playoff. A lot of it is for money. If you leave an 11-1 SEC team out, Greg Sankey will raise hell.
Yes,
and
he
then the SEC will secede from college football, and then you're really going to be in a big mess.
Yeah, I can't see the college football playoff leaving Ole Miss out. I think they will, again, quote-unquote, punish them and drop them into having a road game instead of a home game, but you can't drop them out of the field completely.
I mean, look, that's fair to penalize them, but I'm telling you, if there's more than like 12 to 15 players that leave this roster.
Right. Well, that's a different story. And
that's what I'm expecting.
I guess that won't be factored in, but they can transfer later on. It's not like if they don't transfer now, they can't transfer in the offseason. So
right.
I don't know. I'm very interested to see tonight how they rate Ole Miss because, again, based on the on-field product, they shouldn't move very much. But the committee could drop them a spot or two just based on not having Lane Kiffin, not having their offensive coaching staff. And then, again, the Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, Vanderbilt. How does that all look when the rankings come out tonight? Because, again, the rankings tonight, for better or for worse, are probably not going to change all that much based on championship weekend. So you're going to get a very good idea of what the 12-team bracket is going to look like coming up tonight. I believe it's a 7 o'clock show, the rankings reveal.
Yeah, normally it's 7, yeah.
Again, Vanderbilt, I think, has to be 11 to have a chance. So they got to move up three spots, which would mean likely passing Utah, Miami, and then BYU or Notre Dame. You got to be up there, and it's a lot of spots for you to get up.
If they bump up to 12 and not 11, I think they're still in contention because if BYU loses to Texas Tech in that Big 12 championship game, to me that puts them in.
Well, you'd still be 11. Only the top 10.
That's right. Sorry, 10. Excuse me.
So you would need Alabama to look really bad, which Alabama would have three losses, but they'd beat Vanderbilt. It's a jumbled mess.
And let's remember, how you play in November is what really matters.
And Vanderbilt played very well in November. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll wrap up our college football conversation coming up next. We will talk Titans in the final hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, finishing up the second hour of the show. We will talk some Titans in hour number three. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles is on the line. Charles, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Listen, I want to throw another team in there that has one bad loss. They got a total of three losses, but they've got one bad loss. They went up against a top-ranked Ohio State team, got beat by 7 points. They went up against another team, top-ranked team, Georgia, who beat them. And their worst loss was against Florida. Now, Georgia has gotten beat by a team that Florida beat. Georgia was beat by Florida State, which was a whole lot worse team than getting beat by Georgia, by Florida. So if Georgia loses the SEC championship, they ought to be completely out like Texas is. But I think Texas is the best 9-3 team in the SEC. And if Georgia gets booted out and Vandy doesn't get in, And Texas beat OU. Texas needs to be in above OU because you're talking about Alabama or Oklahoma beating Georgia. Well, Texas beat Oklahoma. So the wins got to count as well as the losses. And Texas' bad loss, I will agree, was against Florida. But Florida State beat Georgia, beat Alabama too. So you tell me. I'm going to get off there and listen.
Thanks for the call, Charles. Lots to unpack there. Texas is one of those teams that the College Football Playoff Committee has a decision to make. Do they value the good wins over the bad losses? And I would argue that Florida loss should be disqualifying, considering how many teams are 10-2 this year. Like last year, if this Texas resume was last year, where there was an argument for a 9-3 Alabama to get in, a 9-3 South Carolina, and a 9-3 Ole Miss, then I think Texas would have a great shot to get in, because you're right, they scheduled one of the top teams in the country, the number one team in the country this year, on the road, and lost by 7 points. That game was a whole lot less competitive than 7 points, by the way. But anyway, but you lost to Florida. And the eye test has to matter, too. I understand a win is a win, and you don't fault Texas for the way they won football games. But they needed every ounce of effort and luck and everything to beat Mississippi State and Kentucky in overtime. I get it. They won the football games. But the eye test has to matter a little bit with them, too. That's why Vandy has been held back, right? It was close wins against Missouri and a close win against Auburn. I think that was what was pulling them back from being above some of these teams in the rankings. With Texas, yes, they have impressive wins. Oklahoma, that was with Mateer coming off of his injury. It was his first game back. They've got Vanderbilt, which they handled that game for the most part. Almost lost in the end, but handled it. And then they beat Texas A&M, only team to beat Texas A&M. It's a great win. But that doesn't erase the fact that you lost to Florida and you really should have lost to Mississippi State and you could have lost to Kentucky.
Two things. First thing is the Mississippi State and Kentucky wins for Texas. Like you said, both those in overtime.
They're wins.
But they're not ranked wins. You mentioned Missouri. Missouri was a ranked win for Vanderbilt at the time.
Yeah.
And you also talk about the eye test and looking at early on in the season for the second thing for me. You look at Texas' schedule and they go up against UTEP, San Jose State, two games where one of them was 38 points, the other one was 27 for them. Look at Vanderbilt, the start of their season. Charleston Southern, 45-3. Virginia Tech, 44-20. I mean, it just goes on and on. Georgia State, 70 points. To me, if the eye test's saying something, margin of victory, and we've kind of seen it a little bit, tongue-in-cheek from the committee, it matters.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at Utah. That's basically the reason they're in the top 15 is because they've blown out all the bad teams they played.
Yeah. And that's why I think Vanderbilt's case is stronger than Utah's, because I think their margins of victory are better than Utah's.
Craig on the text line says, by what you just said, Alabama shouldn't jump Notre Dame this week, because if a loss to Florida disqualifies you, a loss to Florida State should disqualify you too. I did not say Alabama should jump Notre Dame. Yeah. I said I think the committee's going to do it to try and get less blood on their hands.
Right.
And Alabama only has two losses. I get it's not a win-counting exercise. It's not, all right, all you 12-0 teams are here, 11-1 here, 10-2, 9-3. Like, there can be a 9-3 team that is a better team than a 10-2 team. But Texas, if they had just beaten Florida, they would probably be hosting a game in the playoff. But they didn't. And the two games they lost to Georgia and Ohio State, it's not like they were right there. Sure, 14-7 was the final score in the Ohio State game. Did anyone ever think Texas had a real shot to win that game? Ohio State handled them.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Georgia by 25. Like, it's not like, oh, we were right there. Even Florida wasn't that close. They got it back to 8 at the end. It wasn't that close. Texas, great job. You beat Texas A&M. But, sorry. No. It's not going to be enough. You're going to be on the outside looking in.
You mentioned there might be a 9-3 team out there that's better than a 10-2 team. Like, is there a 10-2 team better than 11-1 team? You know where I'm going with this question. I'm poking at the bear.
If you had to give me some of these 10-2 teams over Texas A&M, I'd take them.
Or Ole Miss.
Ole Miss too. Yeah, I would, in a game in the playoffs, I would take Alabama over A&M. Or Ole Miss.
Yeah, I would too.
Just on the field. But, We got some news.
Oh, boy.
Should we wait?
Can it wait 5 minutes?
Let's give it to you now. We'll talk about it on the other side.
OMG.
From Hayes Fawcett of Rivals, 5-star plus quarterback Jared Curtis has flipped his commitment from Georgia to Vanderbilt.
Boom. Boom.
And he will sign tomorrow. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.